Not an engineer, but I've been poisoned by their.
Are you feeling the love, Doug?
It all seems accurate to me. I'm not. Everything's a straight line. We look close to that.
That is funny. I was in a room with a couple of lawyers recently, and they commented like, these regulations must have been written by engineers. And I think, how do you know how many times I say the exact opposite thing?
All right. You ready, Mindy? So I'm going to bring the regular session of the Humboldt Bay Harbor District Board of Commissioners special board meeting, March 30th, 2023, to order with the roll call. Larry.
Mr. Newman.
Here.
Mr. Benson.
Here.
Vice President Coleman.
Present.
And President Dale.
Here. So, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? I already asked that last week.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. So at this point in the agenda, we have room for public comment on items not agendized on this agenda. If you would like to speak on items not agendized, please approach the podium, speak your name and where you're from, and let us have it.
I'm here for the agenda, not for random stuff.
Okay. All right. You never know.
I mentioned within the purview of the Harbor District, not just
here. Yeah, well, we frequently get things outside of the purview of the Harbor District. They get their 3 minutes, just the same. So moving on, seeing no public comment, we'll move on to item 8, business. Not new business, not old business, just business. Consider approval of a contract and expenditure of funds associated with Woodley Island Marina sediment analysis in preparation for dredging. Take it away, Larry.
Doug is going to do this.
Good. My lad.
Ready to flip a switch. You're good.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Doug Salcedo, the Natural Resources Coordinator for the Harbor District. Have a brief update on dredging for the Woodland and Marina in the 2023 dredge window. So as an overview, the dredging strategy goal is to develop and implement a cost-efficient and predictable strategy to dredge Woodley Island Marina and ultimately for beneficial reuse of dredge materials as much as practical. And the way that, well, our objective here is really to dredge the least amount of material within our marina to allow our fleet to utilize the space without draft restrictions. And what we have on this slide below is a set of images of the conditions between H and I dock at a -2 foot tide. And you could see it, the fairway is impassable.
Unless you walk.
Unless you walk, yeah, you can walk between
tough walking
docks there. So just as a note, we have all the permits in place to actually perform the dredging. The list here, we have a CEQA notice of exemption. We have our 401 certification, 404 certification with the Army Corps. We have a CDP with the Coastal Commission, and we have a Harbor District permit as well for dredging. So that's all in place. So based on our Army Corps permit, you could see this is outline of the area that we are permitted to dredge. It covers the entire marina. And what's important to note here is that the federal channel, Woodley Island Marina, extends into the federal channel. And based on this permitted dredge area, we've broken it out into different dredge polygons where we can keep track of the rate of sediment accretion in each of those cells to come up with better estimates for our long-term dredge strategy. So it's a simple image there. So on a per dredge episode basis, we are required to get approval for how we're gonna use or dispose of the dredge materials. And in this case, we were planning on going to Hoods purely on the basis of the volume of dredge material that we're looking at dredging. We don't have the dewatering facilities currently in place to handle that volume. To get approval to go to the Humboldt Open Ocean Disposal Site, Hoods, we need to present our case to the Dredge Material Management Office, which includes the US EPA. They're directly managing Hoods, as well as the US Army Corps of Engineers. And the way we get approval is by developing a sampling and analysis plan, or an SAP, that lays out our dredge area, the dredge history, the sediment sampling history, and as well as where we were planning on sampling this during this dredge episode. Typically, sampling is based on a tiered system where you only advance to the next tier if some threshold levels are met. And what's important to note is that in the past, biological toxicity testing has been waived. And this was based on comparison of our sediment samples to sediment samples in the Federal Channel. But there's been a change in the minimum detection levels, and as well as the fact that we don't have any past biological toxicity testing, that is moving us out of tier one consideration, where they would just look at our past testing and approve us. It's moving us out of that tier into a tier three range, where we're gonna have to do physical testing, chemical testing, as well as this biological toxicity testing. It's important to note that the district does not anticipate any elevated levels of contamination in our sediments that would warrant concern, but we're moving forward with this testing nonetheless. So this is from our SAP that was approved in March 2023. We've split the marina into three dredging units based on our Army Corps dredge area. And we have DU1, which hasn't been dredged in a while. DU2 has been dredged in 2019 and 2020. And then DU3. And as a note, if we were to come up against any limits for contaminants, that would remove the dredge unit of concern from our dredging operations this year. So we could continue on with DU3 if DU1 came back hot or something like that. And again, we don't anticipate that outcome. These are the sampling locations we're planning on approaching next week. And for example, in DU3, there's six sampling locations. Those would be all be combined into a composite sample and then tested for various chemicals and toxicity, biological toxicity. Okay. So as far as what our constraints are for dredging, there are various conditions and special conditions based on our permits, but as far as dredging operations, and volumes, the most important constraints here are that we're limited to 1,000 cubic yards per year and up to 300,000 cubic yards in total over 10 years starting in 2018. And I believe we're just under, actually I have to get back on that, I'm spacing the exact number, but we're well under 100,000 cubic yards so far. And ideally we could get 100,000 cubic yards out of the marina this year. I'm jumping ahead a little bit though. Here is a representation of the surface elevation in our marina. You'll notice that the elevations are negative, so they're depths, and it's scaled between -4 and -14. And what you'll note is that on the east side of our marina, between G and H, H and I, and on the east side of I dock, it's really shallow. That's where those images were, where you could walk across the fairways. So that's gonna be our priority dredge area for this dredge episode. And in that vein, I'll note again that fairways C, D, D, E, E, F, and F, G were dredged in 2019 and 2020. For this dredge episode, fairways G, H, H, I, and I are the priority, followed by the fairway B, C, which is the fairway that leads to our work dock. So we want to make sure that that's accessible. After fairway B, C, then we'll be looking at dredging BWA, or breakwater to A, and A dock to B. And the idea is that we would do this in such a way that we would minimize the need for the dredger to move around, because that's lost time, lost dredging opportunity. Okay, so based on the last survey,
you could go back. I saw that you have like the slips in there under five. I'm guessing we don't have any intention of trying to get to the slips.
It's the lowest priority, and right now we're probably bumping up against getting to priority four at this point. Good question. Okay, so based on our 2022 survey performed by Tom Gast, we're looking at about 75,000 cubic yards of material to be removed. And this is based on our tiered system, where we're not dredging the marina all the way down to minus 14 feet. There's variations in depth that help us facilitate our fleet. If we were to dredge all the way to minus 14 feet, we're looking at over 140,000 cubic yards, which is above our annual dredge amounts. And if we included a 1 foot over dredge, we'd be up to about 165,000 cubic yards. And what this really tells is the savings in dredging that occurs based on our tiered dredging strategy. A couple notes about the survey is that the dredge volumes underneath the docks and the fingers is as estimated. There's not as much data there as between the fairways. There's been an update in the polygons that still needs to be evaluated. And then there has been, based on evaluating some Army Corps surveys within our marina, there has been areas of accretion. So since July 2022, we do expect there to be more sediment in the marina currently than there was then. As far as schedule is concerned, we plan on going out next week to collect our samples and sending those off to the various labs. And that's what this agenda item is about today, is approving a contract and purchase order so that we could get those sediment samples analyzed. And moving forward, and after we get those analyzed, we will be bringing a request for proposals for approval by commissioners, the board. And that would be followed by, assuming that it's approved, a 30-day bid period for various contractors to provide us with their bids. Plan is to have a bid selection occur for our June 8th board meeting. And then once a contractor is approved, they will move forward with various deliverables to the Army Corps and other regulators, including a dredge operation plan that would be deliverable in June, so that we could get approval to begin dredging as early as July 2023. Our dredge window is between July 1st and October 15th, 2023, and we would be closing out any contract documents and regulatory reporting in October of this year. So there are various dredgers along the West Coast and within Humboldt Bay that we can collaborate with to help bring down costs. Right now, it's looking like there may be opportunities to work with the City of Eureka to help bring down the mobilization and demobilization costs, which are a very large portion of these activities. I don't know if
there's a meeting that's being coordinated right now with City of Eureka, Chevron, and Green Diamond. I've all said that they're interested in participating with us on this. And so we're trying to coordinate all those activities. And the meeting was set up, but Eureka asked us to delay the meeting because they just got their surveys completed. For all of theirs, and they're currently analyzing the quantity of material. And so and then they want to basically do their sampling and analysis plan, just like we are, and get caught up. And so Eureka is, they're going full bore to be, participate with us, but Green Diamond does not think that they're going to be ready this year, but they really want to participate because we may be going out to bid or to dredge again next year if we do the eelgrass restoration project. And then in the future of really setting up a program where we're collaborating together and coordinating dredging activities in order to reduce mobilization costs.
Is Coast Guard going this year or not?
They have to get a permit from us, and we have not yet, we haven't approved the permit.
They
were going to try.
What's the question?
The Coast Guard, I thought we were gonna, they were also a part of this collaboration, because they, I thought they had to dredge this year.
They are planning on dredging. I'll have to report back on what happened with the collaboration efforts, but at this point we're going in separate directions or separate paths.
There's sort of, it's two things on the station with the Coast Guard. It's because every agency has your own procurement. It's going to be really difficult. When we met with them, they said it's going to be really difficult for them to do a lot of the unified request for proposals. And so then what the kind of the strategy was, we would go out, sign pretty close together within the time frame. So that way contractors would know that there's two bids that are out at the exact same time. And we could try to get better mobilization costs. And our strategy, of course, was to have them go first.
Yeah.
And we would capitalize on.
Yeah, we're not going this year. You guys go ahead and bring that dredge up here.
Am I understanding correctly when I hear that these potential other collaborators, while they may be sharing some of the same sampling methodologies and some of the same mobilization of equipment and consultants and contractors, but they will be responsible to get their own permits? Or will they be piggybacking on our permit?
Everybody has to get their own permit.
That's what I said. I just wanted to comment.
Historically, the historic relationship between the city of Eureka and the Harbor District has been collaborative. And we've gone out to bid together. And so the bid documents, there probably will be one bid document and award one contract. Eureka and the Harbor District are much more symbiotic relationship. We'll have to see how it goes with the private companies, but the Coast Guard is kind of its unique animal.
Most of these guys have their permit like ours, like a 10-year permit, don't they? So they don't have to. They'll have to go get another permit.
Coast Guard dredged in 2018, so I'm assuming they're in the same permit.
Too bad.
Small area too.
Why do I think they have to dredge this year?
They're
have trouble already.
So they're waiting on CEQA right now to get the Harbor District permit is where that's at. But they are planning on moving forward. And I will say that, you know, we're hopeful that we'll collaborate with the city of Eureka, but we're moving forward with Woodley Island Marina because of the criticality of our situation out there. So, So ultimately what this boils down to is that we need authorization to expend funds to get our sediments analyzed. Staff recommendation is to approve a contract for marine toxicity testing with Pacific Eco Risk and a purchase order of $54,690. Approve a purchase order of $5,868 with McCampbell Analytical Incorporated for chemical analysis of Woodley Island Marina sediments. And on top of that, approve a 10% contingency for any unforeseen activities associated with the sediment testing.
Can I add just a couple of things?
Of course.
In the first place is that a few years ago, then we kind of implemented this idea of doing annual surveys of the marina so we could start to get a handle on the sediment accumulation, where sediment is accumulating, and so we can develop kind of long-term strategies to again, the goal is to get back to that number one strategy that Doug said in the beginning, to dredge the least amount of material as you possibly can, and kind of work towards moving the fleet, the drafts of the vessels towards where it naturally scours itself, as opposed to putting deeper draft vessels where it naturally wants to fill in all the time. So rule number one, dredge the least amount of material as you can. Rule number two, move the fleet to the naturally occurring
conditions as much as you possibly can. And so what's happening is we're starting to get the survey data because we've surveyed in 2018, 19, 20, and now in 2023. And then at the same time, we're coordinating with the Army Corps of Engineers, and when the Army Corps surveys, they park their boat here in Indiana Marina. We've been very fortunate because they've been surveying, the survey boat's been coming in, and we've been getting survey data of the marina. It's not as detailed as what we get when we do our own surveys, but it's pretty darn good. It's free. It's, you can't complain, but the Army Corps of Engineers is definitely helping us out. Part of the reason why we're doing this at the special meeting is because this toxicity sampling, it takes 28 days to do the sampling. And that's also part of the reason why we're jumping the tiers. As you, normally what happens is you would take the samples and you'd see, is there contamination in the area, and then does it warrant doing a the toxicity sampling? But at this point, you know, we can't wait to do this tiered sampling because we're going to miss our window. And so we're just jumping right and doing the full-fledged thing as opposed to doing more of a tiered sampling. I bring that up because it's really important for some of the other projects that we have and for some of these other things, because we have good toxicity sampling. And as what Rob said, half of the, or Doug said, is half of the marinas in the Federal Navigation Channel. And the Army Corps does full toxicity sampling and all of the sampling of the navigation channel. And typically we rely on a relationship with the Army Corps of Engineers and those sampling data. And then lastly, I wanted to really bring up on the 28th, within the schedule that Doug had brought up, is we're gonna ask the board to authorize us to release the request for proposals. What's gonna happen is that we're planning to go out and get a loan to dredge because we don't have sufficient funds in order to cover the dredge expenses. And so Chris and I have been met today with our loan underwriters. And so we're anticipating coming back at the end of the month with the loan data. So we'll know how much money we have. And then we'll ask the board to authorize us to release the request for proposals. And we should have the sampling data completed within those time frames as well. But our goal is to stay within the track. And our dilemma is that you start to get delayed. And as we saw a couple of years ago, that work window is short, July 1st to October. And if you don't go out to bid and you don't get awarded the bid early on, you can lose or not finish the job because you don't complete the work window. And historically, the last few years, because we've been in a drought, I think we've kind of got in this habit that we're going to get an extension of our work windows. As you can see, it's a wet weather pattern, and we're kind of anticipating we shouldn't count on having a dry year next year, and that there's going to be an extension of the work window. And so we need to get the contracts approved and have the contractors completing the project within the work window, because we could be back into a continuous rainy pattern again. So I think Doug did a great job of analyzing this.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, are you ready to hear a motion?
I would love one.
I'll make a motion that we approve the contracts and expenditure of funds associated with Woodley Island Marina sediment analysis in preparation for dredging as presented to us this evening.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion from the board?
I just one quick question. What elements are we looking for in the toxicity testing?
So
live fish, not dead fish.
Yeah, ultimately. So the biological toxicity testing is going to subject marine organisms to the constituents in our sediment for 28 days to see how many survive. The objective is to ensure that we do not subject the wild fauna out there to any toxic environments.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that's how they did it. I thought they were actually doing the chemical analysis.
There is a chemical analysis, and usually that would act as a threshold. Dioxin, PCBs, exotic
hydrocarbons are
they just also just throw the dirt in a fish tank and see if it kills anything.
Roughly. That's what it looks like, yeah.
And you hope it takes them 28 days. Not, you don't have to go faster than 28 days.
Yeah.
Thanks. My
comment is on the tier 3 biological toxicity testing. It's really bioassay, you know, where it's really looking at, as Doug has said, you know, what the impact of that sediment has on actual biotic indicator species in our bay. So it tests. And those are umbrella species for all kinds of species that fall under them, and they go across multiple phylum. And so it's not like just testing for a certain contaminant. It's is this sediment suitable? And so it really, in that sense, it tests across multiple contaminants that we might not be looking for. Does stuff grow in this, or does it not grow in this? Does it survive in it, or doesn't it? So that's really great. It's more expensive. Oh my goodness, is it more expensive? And it takes a little bit more time. But it's good. And you know, it's been approved by the Water Board. It's been approved by US EPA, and it's also consistent with new guidelines on the Water Board. So I think we're really doing a good job on this. I want to just say that I did, I did have some ex parte communication with Baykeepers around this, and had communication with Doug and Larry on this, and Baykeepers, realize that we have clean sediments around the bay, that, you know, they can sleep well at night, as Larry puts it. They're not worried about this in the sense that we're under, you know, EPA thresholds, and that they understand that the dredge material has been approved for beneficial use for restoration or sea level rise or tsunami work. And their only concern is more long-term. There are some places per the 2016 report where there are dioxins and PCBs that have exceeded thresholds, not on our property, but in near, you know, close enough by. They're not expected to migrate heavily, but there's always that potential. So we have to stay vigilant, even though we can, you know, sleep well at night and then say, you know, we're clean. That condition can change over time because of what's in the bay and what can circulate in the bay. So that's my only comment, is just that we move forward but that we, you know, remain vigilant. And I think this kind of testing is the kind that really covers a broad spectrum. So I'm all in favor of it.
Tier 3 is larger organisms, not larval organisms, correct? So it's stickleback, it's three-spine stickleback, not sea urchin eggs. Tier 4 would be or tier 1-2.
Tier 4 is not typically used. That's like a special condition. And I'd have to get back to you more on the details of the tier 3 analysis. I couldn't speak to that fully right now.
It's small stuff too. It's amphipods and blue mussel and mycids. And I mean, it's a real diversity.
But not first, second cell division stuff.
Are they more concerned with releasing the sediment here in the bay and the marina as we dredge, or dumping it out at Hoods?
This is for the federal waters consideration. Yeah.
So they're looking at like what's out there at Hoods that might be impacted, not
exactly. And also that sediment's going to fall through, you know, 150 feet of water before it lands.
All right, I have a motion. Any other comments? Any comments from the audience? Please.
Okay. So I didn't get to introduce myself to all you guys last time.
Tell us who you are, where you're from.
I'm Cody Freitas. I'm with Operating Engineers Local 3. My question was for the tiers. Larry, you spoke about just jumping the gun, going straight to the third tier. And Doug, you had spoke about having a track record of the tiers, established that. So if this year, if we go for the tier 3 and we're successful, would that mean in the future years we would not have to go to that level of testing?
Our goal is that because we have permits to dredge Woodley Island Marina through 2028.
Yeah.
But every time there's kind of is a distinction between you get a permit to dredge, but you still have to get a permit to dispose of your material.
Yeah.
And so wherever you dispose of your material, you have to get authorization to dispose of that material. And so what we're asking the EPA to do is to allow this testing to go through at least through 2028. And so then any future dredging events that we have through the term of our existing permit that we wouldn't have to do any new testing. Okay. Because very likely what's going to do is in 20, what the plan is in 2027, we're going to start getting working on our permits. We're not going to wait till 2028 to get our new permits. We're going to get 2027, start working on our permits to get new 10-year permits to dredge between 2029 to 2039. And then we'll probably have to do additional testing at that point in time.
Okay. That was my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Cole, you never get to go backwards on testing. So if you if you test tier three now, we'll test tier three every time from now on.
Okay.
That's just the way it goes.
And so then I just wanted to bring up one other point that I failed to bring up is that as part of our dredging strategy, one of our dredging strategies has been to get the Army Corps of Engineers to try to dredge the Federal Channel right adjacent to the marina to keep the drafts down so that the, because at one point, as you recall, the Federal Channel was actually shallower than Woodley Island Marina. And so we were telling the Army Corps that your material is coming into Woodley Island Marina that you need to dredge, keep the—
How about pay for half of it? Because half of it's their material.
Yes. And so the Army Corps of Engineers is scheduled to come in and dredge. They're going to be here three times this year. And so the first is going to be the Uquinna, and they're going to be working on the inner channel, and they're supposed to be here towards the end of April, so within the next month. And so in the next week, we'll be transmitting over to them where our priority dredging areas are within the inner channel. And again, the inner channel is basically the Eureka Channel all the way out to the corner of the North Jetty. And then in late May, the first in May, they're going to come in with the Essence, which is another U.S. Army Corps of Engineer dredge. And the Uquinna is not designed to go deeper. And because the Essence is going to come in and they're going to dredge for approximately 20 to 28 days, I forget exactly, in the entrance channel. So we're going to see the Essence come in and be dredging the entrance channel of the bay in May. And then there's what's called the West Coast Dredging Hopper contract. And that's basically the Army Corps, the San Francisco District of the Army Corps, and the Portland District of the Army Corps get together and do one bid for every harbor and port on the whole West Coast. And that's called the West Coast Hopper contract. And so the first two, the Essence and the Uquinna, are U.S. Army Corps of Engineer dredges. One of our core problems has been on the entrance channel, again, not Woodley Island Marina, but on the entrance channel, has been that sometimes towards the end of the season, we can get some additional shoaling. So the Army Corps of Engineers is planning to come back in November, because their work window is actually to November 30th, where the Army Corps can dredge, where our work window is October 15th. And so they're planning to come back in November and dredge up to 300,000 additional cubic yards of material in the entrance. And what we found in the last couple of years, that's been part of the strategy that we've been working with them on, is to come in and dredge, but then come back in and do a touch-up dredge right at the end of the season. That really helps us to kind of extend the season a little bit longer that we may have for some of the operations. And that's part of the reason why I'm bringing that up, because our friends, the longshoremen and the operating engineers and et cetera, it's really critical that we keep these people working and keep the maritime operations going. And so part of this relationship with dredging Woodley Island Marina, coordinating with the Army Corps of Engineers to help us here in Woodley Island Marina, but also the surveys and these other things, are something that we've been working on for a long, long, long time. And it's really exciting to see us getting to this point.
Yeah. Rick Souza, Local 14, IOWU. Thank you. This is very interesting being here and listening to this. We just had a chip ship here, as you know. And, you know, we had to, you're right, it affects shipping. You know, we had to load hatch 3, go down to 5, go back to 2, those were all 100% hatches, but then because I believe it had to have a 32-foot draft as she went out, and so we had to go load number 1 at 60%, go back to 5, load 37%, then they had to do a draft survey, then to see where they were at, then had to go back to five again. I mean, number one again, back to six. But the ship roughly went out 80-85% loaded, which, you know, it affects commerce. It affects, you know,
that's your profit.
Profit, you know, every time you move that ship back and forth. And so, you know, and that's a big question. There's so much sediment comes down the eel. And apparently it, these years like this, it shoals it up pretty good. But it's just really interesting. Thank you for the work that you're doing. And yeah, Longshore really appreciates what you're doing, because it does make a difference on vessels coming in and out. So thank you.
Thank you for that. So I have a motion and a second. What about the Corps paying for part of the, seeing as the half the marina is in the federal channel, what's the Corps going to say when we ask them to pay for part of that? We send them a bill.
They laugh is what they say, but yeah, no.
Well, that should be one of the topics we take up with our congressman on Tuesday.
There you go.
Are the SCMs in the Aquator, are they suction dredges or clamshell dredges? What types of dredges?
Augers.
Augers.
Yeah, that's a suction dredge. It's an auger, but they're big giant suction dredge. I think it's like an 18 inch, depending on which one it is. But yeah.
They'll be right out. If you take all the boats off the end of the dock, they'll look like they'll be sitting in the marina when they come through. But they do a good job, and it's really, really great that they did what they did the last time they were here. Mm-hmm. So if we get them to do that again, that'll help.
So will they be coming in here when they do the inner channel? Is that
well within the what the discussions that we've had with the Army Corps? Because we have the Coast Guard vessel, and the Coast Guard sits at the Intai. The Coast Guard is the highest priority for the Army Corps of Engineers is to keep the military vessels, navigating and safe passage. And so we're going to bring that up to them again. They were at the Harbor Safety Committee. The Coast Guard was there. The Army Corps is part of the Harbor Safety Committee. And so, we will be pushing to try to get them in that area. But there's competing areas that we have to do as well. So I can't guarantee that will be there. But that's definitely one of our highest priorities.
All right. Any more comment? I have a motion and a second. We don't have to do a roll call, do we?
Nope.
So all in favor, signify, please, by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed, please signify by saying nay. All right, motion passes. You got your $54,000. You just didn't spend that money like crazy, Doug.
Yeah, 60-something.
I spent it all in one place.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's for a good cause. And it's only the beginning. All right, moving on to item 8B. Consider adopting resolution 2023-606. A resolution designating the executive director and deputy executive director as authorized agents for the purpose of applying for and receiving funds from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, and the California Office of Emergency Services.
So we've brought a resolution before you tonight to do just that, but a little bit of background. So from the period of December 24th through January 31st, there was a declaration made by CalUS and FEMA for disaster relief, which relates to certain areas here. Well, it relates to the entire county, but for us, it relates to certain areas. As we reported to you in January and then again in February, we had some significant damage at two of our properties. Through the initial assessment, through the exploratory call, it looks like we're going to proceed with Shelter Cove. There's three areas of concern at Shelter Cove. There is the immediate need for debris removal so we can get back to regular launching services. There is a second need to repair the toe of the road that goes down and goes to the launch ramp. And then there's a third need, which is the repair and rebuild of the breakwater. There's potentially a fourth option to also apply for some pre-mitigation or resiliency funding, which would allow us to raise the height of the breakwater and improve the overall construction. And so what we have before you is a resolution that is a requirement of FEMA, and it would authorize staff to engage with the agency to develop the scope of work, execute related task orders, and to submit and receive payment for those actions. This is DR 4683. That's the declaration for FEMA. We have recurring meetings now weekly. We received a letter of application approval from Cal OES today in relation to this project. And so we are seeking those authorizations. We're open for questions as needed. I'm sure Larry has more he'd like to add.
I was speaking to Ryan, our attorney, this afternoon, and because in the meetings with FEMA and Cal OES, what happened, the process is that we have to submit sort of the entire work plan that we're going to do. And if an item isn't included in that work plan at the end of 60 days, then you can't add it later on. And so part of the issue is because we're dealing with the jetty, you can't see what's at the bottom of the jetty and these other things. And so I was telling, and it has to be completed within 60 days. And this is on part of this emergency resolution. And so what I was discussing with Ryan is that we're going to have to contract out to get some services, and it's going to exceed my $5,000 limit. I don't know exactly who those contracts are going to be, but my intention is to contract for some services. It's probably going to be with SHN or with Moffitt Nickel. Moffitt Nickel, they're the company that we're working with on the new terminal project, but they're also the company that in the engineer in 2010 that designed that jetty. And so they have the as-built drawings and all of the construction specifications and all the detailed knowledge that went into building these things. And this is the type of information that we need in order to get the full amount of grant funds through FEMA and Cal OES. And so with speaking with Ryan, my intention is to issue those contracts and then to report to the board at the very next meeting what those contracts were and the amount of those contracts. But really, because of the standard procurement process, we won't be able to get that done because and have to wait till the next board meeting in order to authorize those and to be within the 60-day time period. If we're successful in getting the grant money, then all of those contracts and those expenses would be covered through the grant funds. In addition to the engineering piece of the equation, we really have to start working on the permitting aspects. As we all know, getting permits in the ocean is not an easy task. And there's likely going to be two types or two phases to this project. As Chris had said, there's a lot of debris that's on the boat ramp itself. And within, you can see there all the gravel that's on the boat ramp. And so what this is causing is the tractor launching services go out into the ocean. The tractor is... they can't use the full boat ramp. And so instead, they're using just the far edge of the boat ramp. And the far edge of the boat ramp also takes the biggest amount of abuse, you know, and it's starting to deteriorate. And so there's a big drop off at the end and you're driving the tractor. And so the discussions is that these debris removal may be done on an emergency and also under a maintenance type of a permit activity as opposed to a new construction or a reconstruction activity. And so it's possible that within the grant application, that was the discussion with Cal OES and FEMA, that they may authorize those expenditures to be done as an emergency basis. And therefore, we would have 6 months in order to complete those improvements. The second and third portions of what Chris had talked about, the toe of the slope and the jetty reconstruction project, those are the areas that are likely going to take much more extensive permitting operations and will take a much longer time period. So I wanted to kind of give you a little bit more expanded based upon the conversations that I had with Ryan this afternoon. And this is all as of yesterday is when we... we had the meeting with FEMA and Cal OES yesterday. And the letter from Cal OES saying that we were approved within the project, we just received that today.
I'd like to move that we adopt resolution 2023-06.
I'll second.
A motion and a second. Any comments from the board?
Yeah, I have just one comment, and you know, it's sort of goes back to, you know, is it better to get permission or ask forgiveness? I mean, when I look at these slides, I see operations and maintenance, I see emergency repair, I see stuff that ought to be part of operations and management. And I would, while being cautious and not being cavalier about doing stuff under emergency repair, I think it's in everyone's interest that we do stuff as timely as possible, and we assume a certain amount of permission, you know, on existing permits. And I agree that some of these other elements that require a little bit more engineering that might modify the project, the former project in some way, that, you know, we need to have more due diligence for that. But I'm all for getting this done as soon as possible. Support that.
Thanks, Craig. Yeah, these guys are in dire need right now. It looks pretty rough. So anybody from the audience like to comment? When was the last time you guys were in Shelter Cove?
In a while.
You need to go visit Shelter Cove. It's not the same place.
Right.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's always been beautiful, but they've really done a lot of work down there. So it's this is unfortunate, but
it should have been down there in a while.
We haven't had a meeting down there in a while. I've been down there, but roads suck.
And so I'll just say this, since you brought it up, is that general manager is leaving Justin? Shelter Cove. And so they're advertising for a new general manager. And so Chris and I were just discussing the other day that we really need to go. We're going to be doing a couple of trips down to Shelter Cove as part of this project. And it could be something that the board wants to entertain at some point in the near future.
It'll be in the next 30 days. We have to do a site visit.
So. Why don't we set up a meeting down there this spring?
Yeah.
I know it might be one of the ways to get our Commissioner Higgins to a meeting.
As long as he makes his sports fishing reservations, as long as the sports fishing season is going on.
Yeah, okay. All right, so I have comments from the board, comments from the public, and I think we're ready to take it to a vote. All in favor, please signify.
Resolution.
Oh, gosh, thank you.
Commissioner Coleman.
Yes.
Commissioner Benson.
Yes.
Commissioner Newman.
Yes.
And President Dale.
Yes. I think it's time to adjourn.
Yeah.